fellow freedom fans. You're listening to Preservative Talk Radio, brought to you by Freedom Ministries, where we confront the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com. Now let's go to our pre-recorded broadcast. Somebody challenged me the other day, and I read a book this morning and a couple of days ago. I've been getting through it. It's pretty good. And it's a guy who basically says that the U.S. Constitution is a pagan document. It's not Christian. It was a challenge for Christians to not have anything to do with it. It was an interesting thing. I have some comments I'd like to make on it, and it may come around that I would review some of those things. There were some things that he said were absolutely true. There were some other things in there. I said, well, there's a little more information that would modify that view a bit. The kind of thing we do is we do the research. We find out what is it. There are some things in the Constitution that really did go very contrary to the history of Christianity and its teachings of Christ and the fundamental principles of law that protect you. So there are some things in there, and I think a lot of people don't know it. There's also some things in there that came squarely from a principle that is rooted straight in the Bible. And there's also something that's mentioned, a structure of law, a hierarchy of law mentioned in the Constitution. It talks about the Article III court system and gives them the ability to talk about cases in law and equity and the laws of the United States and treaties made pursuant to the Constitution. That's a hierarchy. There's law. There's law. And notice that the law and equity are higher than the laws of the United States. See, the laws of the United States were, as I said before in the previous episode here a couple of minutes ago, that's what you would call municipal law or positive law. It is law that is lower, has less power, less authority even than equity. So what is equity? And then there's something that's higher than equity, and it's called law. Well, wait a minute. How can it be law if the legislature doesn't pass it? Law is. It's fixed. It's invariable. It is. It applies in all times, in all places. In Blackstone's commentaries on the absolute rights of individuals, of course, he said, right, the primary and principal objects of law are rights and wrongs. What is right? What is wrong? In other words, there are things that are right. There's a law of nature, a law of revelation. It's been indicated in the Bible. You can find out about these things if you can't figure it out yourself. You can read the book. But there's things that are absolutely right and absolutely wrong. They are. You don't need a legislature to figure it out. Rights are liable to another subdivision, Blackstone said. And these are important to you. I think a lot of people don't realize this. There are right things that are dividable as far as how to protect your rights, what the government is instituted to protect those rights in the Bill of Rights, but also those things that weren't expressed or enumerated in there. There's absolute rights that are yours. They're right things, and there are absolute wrongs. So let's look at these different types of rights. Here Blackstone says there's some rights that are connected to you as a person called, here's a little Latin term, jura personarum. Or this is what he called, in English, it's the rights of persons. So there's rights are divided into things such as rights of persons. And then the other distinction is the rights of things. Now, inanimate object doesn't have a right of its own, but it may be a right thing that is your property that needs to be protected. Also, it might be a right thing for you to use your property. So government's instituted to protect you in your use of your property. It's not, believe it or not, the government really isn't. The government that we have in Tennessee, the United States of America, is not there to take control over your situation and regulate it for the ultimate benefit of everybody. That isn't the purpose of government. The purpose of government is to protect you in your life, you in your liberty, and you in your stuff. Liberty kind of connects them. There's you and your life. You're alive. You've got stuff. That's property. And in between, you have the liberty to use the stuff. That's what government is instituted to protect. Blackstone also goes in. He says wrongs are also divisible into private wrongs, which is somebody infringing of your right things that concern you as an individual. He calls it law. Let me just quote this. Rights are also divisible into first, private wrongs, which being an infringement merely of particular rights concern individuals only and are called civil injuries. And he's talking here about municipal law. So it's sometimes when people, legislature writes a law and says, hey, this is how we're going to behave in this society. There's some absolute rights and absolute wrongs that God, you know, mentioned in the Bible. And the common law would normally take care of that. But with regard to civil injuries, there are some things that maybe it takes a statute to spell it out that protects some property right in a particular way. So Blackstone divides this into private wrongs, civil injuries, and then he says public wrongs. This word public is very important. Public wrongs, which being a breach of general and public rights. Now think about that. Remember the history. There are rights and there are wrongs. Public wrongs breach the general and public right things. They affect the whole community, and we call them crimes and misdemeanors. Crimes and misdemeanors. As I was saying before the break, I think it was before the break, in California, they have this strange thing. I didn't even know about it. I expatriated from California, was born there in Castro Valley. And when I joined the Navy, spent 3 years in the Navy in stationed in Long Beach and in San Diego. And there was a point after being there, you know, that all my life in Southern California, I decided to see how the other half lived. So I came to the East Coast and it fit me. I really enjoyed California. I love the topography. I love going to the beach. I love those activities. I love going to the mountains. I love those activities. I like the adventure. It's a neat place on the planet to live. The society is a little weird. There's a lot of creepy things going on. A lot of crime. A lot of immoral lifestyles were just out in the open. But it wasn't as bad as it is today. I had no idea that in San Francisco, there are people that walk around naked downtown. Doesn't matter who's there, little children, teenagers. It doesn't matter who's there. And they do things to themselves to enhance their body features that you wouldn't normally see. It's sick. And they've lost their minds. The fact that they allow that to happen is an indicator that they've succumbed to the pandemic of dementia. It hadn't quite hit the rest of us yet. So they recently, they're proposing to have an ordinance to tell these folks, you will be fined, listen, $100 if you walk around the streets naked, unless it's in a parade. See, if there's a parade in San Francisco, I guess you can do just about anything in these parades. They think it's a right. It isn't, folks. It's a wrong. It's never right to do a wrong in public or private. But we're going to see here, if it's done in public, that's when you, me, and the government that we've instituted has a duty to do something about it, to nip that wrong in the bud and put it back in those closed doors or slap your Rumpelstiltskin right in jail. Let's just see what happens here. So we talked about their rights and wrongs. We talked about their civil injuries and societal injuries or civil wrongs. Let's see what Blackstone said here. The rights of persons that are commanded to be observed by the municipal law, that's the stuff the legislature does, are of two sorts. First, there's such as due from every citizen, which are usually called civil duties. What would be a civil duty? To register for selective service. You might be called on to be a jurist. That could be. Those are civil duties. In fact, in these days, you could actually be called on, even in history of long government, you could be called on to mow the lawn in front of your property that might be, let's say some places have a sidewalk and then there's grass between the sidewalk and the street. You actually have a civil duty, even though it's an easement, public easement. Technically, it might be the responsibility of the city, so they could pay somebody to do it, or they could ask you or tell you to take care of that area, that's specifically adjacent to your property on those easement. Those would be duties. So that would be those. That's a rights of a person observed by the municipal law, two sorts. First, those are due from every citizen, usually called civil duties. And secondly, such as belong to him, which is more popular acceptation of rights. Now, so in other words, there's things that are right, and we call them rights. Both may indeed be comprised, let's see, all social duties are relative nature. Now, this is something that people don't understand, and I know it's a little bit tough on your brain, but not every law applies to you. Not every law applies to you. Not every societal duty applies to you. It only applies to those who are in the society. That seems very strange to people. It may be that somebody comes from another country, they're visiting here, they have a right of passage, they have a right to pass peacefully and in safety. They have a right of safe passage, they've come through the gates according to the law, then we lend them safe passage. But our societal laws passed by our legislature have no power on them, and they may not know it. Some of your policemen know it, some don't. We have no jurisdiction. As long as they don't violate a common law, no-brainer Ten Commandment law, they don't steal, they don't punch somebody in the nose, they don't murder, then those things are just absolutely wrong. But there's things that, because of society, if you're part of a society, then you're subject to those society rules. If you're not, you're not. Social duties are of a relative nature. At the same time they are due from one man or set of men, they must also be due to another. And it goes on to say that allegiance is the right of the magistrate, protection the right of the people. So that's that civil compact. And that's a whole different discussion. But let's go on to see this thing. Again, yes, this is very educational. This might blow some people's minds here too. Persons, as said Blackstone here, and this is, again, just to let you know what you're listening to, these are the absolute rights of individuals. If you read the Constitution of the United States and they say those rights that are not expressly enumerated here are still the right of the people. Well, what are those rights? Where do we... Okay, are they on a list someplace? Do we make them up as we go? Well, the founders understood that there was something called Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England, the absolute rights of persons. So that's what I'm reading. So here we are. Persons are divided into the law either by natural persons or artificial. This is a real hot potato for folks. It turns out that you can be a natural person and you can be an artificial person, or at least operate as one. Here we go. Persons are divided into the law by either natural persons or artificial. Natural persons are such as God of nature formed us. That's a natural person. Artificial are such as created and devised by human laws for the purposes of society and government, which are called corporations or bodies politic. So, you take your name and slap the word ink at the end of it, incorporated, and it now becomes an artificial person. It's subject to all the municipal laws of society because it's literally an instrument of that civil law, that civil society. You as a natural person could be completely immune from those rules that are tied to artificial persons. Wow. What? Oh my goodness. And I'll tell you what, there's people really studying this because it has a significant impact. A lot of times you'll go to a courtroom and you mention this to a judge, he'll know what you're talking about. And they'll go, oh, case dismissed, no jurisdiction. You're a real person. And in some cases, a judge will say, sorry, you're an artificial person. I can see it right here. Yes, this is the artificial person. This is artificial court. Stick around. We've got things to talk about. We're going to come back, and yes, we are. We're going to talk about these absolute rights of persons. David Allen Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio. Find out more at preservativetalkradio.com.